Cap Figure Podcast episode 15. So my partner on the show, Tom, last week weaseled his way out of a series prediction in the Dodgers National Series, and before game 5 changed his pick to the Nationals, even though he picked the Dodgers before the series. Anyway, Clayton Kershaw came in for the last two outs and won both his starts in that series. But he came in for the last two outs. It was really weird in game 5. So Mike Francesa's here. Mike, what do you think of Clayton?
His antics make me sick.
Okay. That's an interesting take. I appreciate it, Mike. I mean, I wouldn't call them antics, but I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool, or maybe even funny, that he was like, "Hey, coach, I want to relieve. Let me try," and he lets him in. It was a little charming or funny.
Would you laugh at anything? Is there any? What was funny?
Hey, nothing. Maybe we got off on the wrong foot, Mike. I don't mean no disrespect. Can you just more clearly, without hyperbole, articulate your beef, but not with over generalizations?
I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I think it's the most selfish, dumbest thing I've ever seen.
That is such a good point, Mike. And I'm not just saying this because I'm kissing your ass or I so desperately want you to like me, but that is really dumb and selfish. I never thought of it that way. Hey, Mike, so just while I have you here also, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Mets playoff run this year. What do you think?
It was really a thrilling couple hours.
All right, dude, you don't have to be so negative about it. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about the Mets, you know.
Don't worry about the Mets. The Mets were in the World Series last year.
What the hell is wrong with you? Why do you get so mad?
Why do you talk about the Mets?
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best.
So, welcome to Cap Figure Podcast episode 15. I'll just get right to the elephant in the room. Tom just heard that pre-recorded interview I did with Mike, and he heard me call him a weasel. I assume he's upset, but you tell me, Tom. Isn't an apology, by the way.
I'm not that upset.
Okay.
I am a weasel.
Well, you bailed on your series pick. You thought the Dodgers were going to win all along. And somehow they did, even though they looked like they were definitely going to lose before Game 5. That was crazy.
Yeah, I should have just stuck with my gut.
That was cray. Whatever. It's not like you're betting on it or anybody's going to rub it in your face besides me and Mike Francesa. So
I can handle you. Mike is a different story, though.
So Cap Figure Podcast, episode 15, like I said.
I told you St. John's is going to be representing the Big East in the tournament this year. Chris Mullin's back.
It's their year. The Red Storm, they've been due. So before the show, just real quick, I was telling Tom that I was going to maybe do stand-up this story, and I have one stand-up story, and I was going to tell him it, but then I didn't, and I was like, I'll tell the show. So the story is, quickly, is that I was in a dildo store. Not a dildo store. I keep saying that. It was a dildo store. It was a sex shop in Florida. I was living in a halfway house. I was with my friend, and we ended up splitting up. First, we were looking around like, wow, there's this real thin line between biker stuff and, like, S&M, like a ball gag. We couldn't remember if that was a motorcycle thing or a, I mean, I'm joking, but, like, assless chaps or both. Anyway, so I end up on the dildo wall, and I'm looking at them, and I'm looking, getting so anxious because they're all giant. And I'm looking at the wall like, that one's way bigger than me. None of them look like me. So I start to more and more freak out, and finally I'm like, damn, I see one that looks like me, and I was, like, so relieved. I walk over to it, and I swear to God, on the package, it said travel size. I've never been more deflated. It was very big blow to my ego. So, that's that. So,
that's not, like, that much of stand-up as, I don't know.
As what?
Just, like, therapy session. For the listeners.
No, I mean, whatever. I guess it's like, you mean it's like insight to my psyche?
Yeah.
Well, you're not a very good crowd. You're a one-man crowd. I think that that kills it with...
I guess I'm a small sample size, so...
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, also, I've never done it in my life. The other joke was that I don't understand why people get upset about miscarriages because they didn't even have it yet. It's like me getting upset that I got outbid on eBay So anyway, so we're game four is right now. The Indians are up 3-0. Which do you want to talk about, the AL or the NL first? Pick one.
AL.
All right. So the Indians are up 3-0. It's amazing. Like, I think the clear story that everybody's talking about, as they should be, is the use of the bullpen. And right away, game one of the playoffs, the Indians made it clear that Terry Francona made it very clear that he's a freaking gangster when he put in Andrew Miller in the fifth inning. And they've been riding him and aggressive decisions and good play since then to a 3-0 series lead. I mean, they're... I don't know. Like, who would have thought that they would be winning? The Blue Jays were favored.
Yeah, it's an interesting case study because you have the Blue Jays on one side with all the big star power, and...
You just gotta face it. Just make sure it's, like, in front of you.
Is this on pause?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was just fixing the mic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you have the Blue Jays on one side who have all of the star power, and the Indians once again proved that the game is not just about hitting. You know, you have base running decisions, you have shifting. The Indians, one thing I've noticed in the series is every time they shift, they do happen to be sort of in the right place. And, you know, coaching plays a part in it. I think base running, I think defense, Lindor made that double play, which was absurd.
Yeah. The one where he dropped it, or the one you mean the one where he dove running away? Like?
The double play where he picked it up off the ground.
Yeah. That was
threw
awesome.
It from his knees. The other one where he was doing like the Jeter jump fade.
Yeah, that was sick to Bautista.
But
you know, this is what we thought. This is what we were talking about last show. Was that even though I know on paper I would rather have the Blue Jays offense, there's something Royals and there's something to love about. Obviously the bullpen, but that goes without saying. But just the lineups. I like having all these like switch hitters who get a little bit of contact, not as much as the Royals, obviously, but really the good defense and base running, and like those are not talked about. Billy Beane actually for the last 2 or 3 years said defense was the overlooked commodity in the marketplace. Like that was the thing in recent years.
That makes sense with the Royals when you think about it. I mean, part of it is just good player development, and they had great defensive players, but I still sort of agree with that. I think the other thing that's coming
agree with
into,
what
that defense was
undervalued. Oh.
I think less so now, but I think one thing that kind of always gets overlooked in this is the depth of your organization. Because if you look at the Indians, they had 2 of the top 10 pitchers in the AL, starting pitchers this year. They're both out.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They have Bauer.
Danny Salazar and Carlos Carrasco, just in case you don't know.
Oh, right. And then you have Bauer, Tomlin, Clevinger, these guys. Then you go into the bullpen like Otero, and they piece together 8 1/3 innings last night with their bullpen, and that is just truly astonishing.
Yeah. Last night was amazing. Last night was, like, before the series, like, I didn't know that he would use Andrew Miller 2 days in a row the way he did, because 3 games in a row, but 2 days in a row, because in the divisional series, he had a day off between two inning outings. But like, it's amazing that Trevor Bauer tried to pitch. Like, how do you win that game? Game three, they get two outs with their starter, and then he has to come out of the game, and then you win?
It doesn't make any sense.
It's amazing. I mean, it's really crazy. And it's like, wait, how much did Andrew Miller pitch yesterday?
I think he pitched an inning and 2/3, I believe it was.
Yo, it's pretty crazy. Who else pitched? Look up the box score and see the game log. But like the game two, speaking of base running, another point I wanted to make was that it was a 2-1 final, and the winning run was Rajay Davis gets on base. Then so Carlos Santana, I believe, hit a homer, and then Rajay Davis gets on base in the third inning, steals second, and then on a wild pitch or passed ball, advances to third. And, I mean, most players probably advance to third there, but you're not able to advance to third unless you steal second. And then they end up scoring. He ends up scoring the winning run. So what was the, like, pitcher parade?
Bauer was taken out after getting 2 outs in the first inning. Then you had Dan Otero pitch an inning and a third. Manship came in for an inning.
Who the hell is that?
Exactly. Zach McAllister came in for an inning. He gave up an earned run. So did Otero. But then is where you really get the three heavy hitters. You have Shaw came in for an inning and two-thirds, Allen for an inning and two-thirds, and then Miller one and a third. So between those three, you know, we're talking about the bullpen and just the very dominant part. You've got, I don't know, what do we have here? Three, four and two-thirds innings between Allen, Miller, and Shaw.
Yeah.
That's more than half the game.
Yeah, and even if, right, I know. And but, I mean, I guess,
and you're lucky
you scored.
Gap.
What? Yeah. It's amazing. Also, Tomlin, in game two, like, even if they lost yesterday, this series is still surprising because Kluber, he was favored. Game one, they were favored, the Indians, and so I expected them to win, and they did win. But game two, when Tomlin pitches again, and he pitches another good game, and again Andrew Miller goes two innings, I believe, and again, you know, they win 2-1. Like, that is such a...
It's deflating.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. I'm mixing up games. No, I'm not. Tomlin pitched game two. But...
Yeah, what's interesting, too, is you watch the Blue Jays hitters when Andrew Miller comes in.
Oh,
you
it's
see
like,
they
it's
are...
like David Ortiz, like when that at-bat when he threw a temper tantrum because they couldn't call strikes properly.
Yeah, that any time that there's a strike that's called looking, the Blue Jays players, they start panicking. They're talking to the umpire.
Yeah.
They're all mad. And every time they're struck out, they, like, have a temper tantrum on the way back
babies.
To the dugout. And I don't know. You know, I mean, yeah, it's frustrating to hit against him, but it's just very obvious that he's in their head and they have,
absolutely.
Like, no confidence in the fact that they can – if they're not winning the game going into the seventh inning, the Blue Jays right now think they're going to lose.
Yeah. I mean, and then they're freaking out about the strike zone, Bautista. Also, and, like, remember that David Ortiz at bat I'm referencing in the regular season when Miller was still on the Yankees, those two sliders that were called strikes. I think part of it, like, some of them are balls that they call strikes or whatever, but his slider's so crazy that it's so subjective that they need robot umps. But even I think that we got off the point, to me – the biggest point, not the biggest point, but the biggest
takeaway,
or is that the way that Terry Francona and even Dave Roberts have used their bullpen could, like, change stuff for the next decade until it cycles back or whatever. I mean, I don't want to say forever, but, like, the way they've been so aggressive with their bullpens is awesome. You know, the fact that he had Cody Allen, somebody who is a quote-unquote closer, and old-timers might say, like, well, he closes. That's what he does. He just swaps them around because it fit the game situation when he wanted to have a lefty in. You know, that's so sweet. You know, it could backfire. Like I don't like how Dave Roberts managed Game 5. We'll get to that in a minute. But at least Terry Francona, he's a total gangster. Tito,
yeah.
I know you insiders call him. Sorry.
And it's... this is another thing that I think kind of gets overlooked is we're talking about the deep Indians, you know, 40-man roster. When there's not really that one big star, everyone's ego is kind of in check. You know, it's like...
what do you mean on the bullpen, like, as far as managing bullpen or...
Well, it just seems to be the culture of the entire team that nobody is above or better than anyone.
Carlos Santana thinks he is. He's a dick. He doesn't run to first base hard on ground balls. But besides him...
I mean, and the organization...
But that sounds, like, rhetorical. Like, I mean, would you think that's worth... Like, what is that worth, that nobody's ego is there?
Well, I think it's got to be worth at least something.
In the bullpen, it matters
a lot. Absolutely, especially in the bullpen.
Yeah, you know, that is... So, we'll go to the NL, but this is a segue to my takeaway from both the Cubs and the Dodgers, is that those teams are using their whole teams, like, and that takes, like, a lack of ego, like the Cubs being able, like, it is an impact with the Cubs where it's like David Ross or anybody is happy that Montero's getting in, like, everybody is ready to play because they all might get in.
Yep.
And these managers are using everybody. Like, Dave Roberts had zero pinch hitters, I believe. He had nobody left on the bench except Puig or maybe even he used Puig at the end of game one. It's pretty sweet, but on the good side of Andrew Miller is the bad side of him using Kenley Jansen. I didn't like that at all in Game 5. He came in the 7th inning. He had never thrown more than 45 pitches. What did you think of that?
Honestly, I was going to say I totally disagree with you, because when I watched Kenley Jansen pitch, he was so locked in. Nobody was even coming close to any of his pitches.
He looked a little irritated, though. He walked like the first two guys. He settled in, but he looked a little disturbed.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's your best option at that point. Yeah, he might not have thrown that many pitches, but if there's a time to throw a pitcher like that,
I guess
that
you're
many
right.
pitches, it's right there.
No, it's hypocritical of me. That, like, on paper, if you just tell me, the only reason I don't like it is, like, watching his body language and the fact Clayton come in, which I guess is stupid reasons not to like it. Because if you just told me, okay, there's going to be a scenario with some guys on base, or it's like they're gonna get back two runs, you're gonna have a one run lead in the 7th inning, I'd be like, use your best pitcher now. There's no debate. Like, there's nothing to save the game for to save. So I guess it's hypocritical of me to say I don't like it. I didn't like Clayton Kershaw. I guess there's no other option. But, like, if he didn't know, they were making this point on Effectively Wild podcast, and I agree with it, that it becomes way more of a questionable decision if, when he decided to put Kenley Jansen in, whether or not he knew Clayton Kershaw would be available. You know, I imagine he did, but if he didn't, it's, like, pretty crazy to not have a plan. But then again,
I think he had to have known that.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too, because that would be too ridiculous if he didn't. So anyway, so the Nationals lose, and the Dodgers also made another bad managing decision. So, we'll say that Kenley Jansen was good, but so after the game was tied, now it's the bottom of the 8th, and there's six spots, the pitcher spot is up, and the Dodgers, the commentators were saying they'd love to get Aroldis Chapman out of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a leadoff double, I believe, then they walk somebody to put the double play in order and to get a better matchup. Maybe that was when they walked Hayward to get to Baez. I mean, yeah, and then they get two outs, and then they walk the bases loaded to get the pitcher spot up.
Yeah.
Would you do that?
I think so. I think especially for that one isolated incident there, it's like they have all this information right at their hands. I'm sure that whatever reason they had analytically made sense.
Well, you could always say that, though. That would be no fun if we always were just like, well, I'm sure they know better.
But I think it was a good move. I think it was a good move.
Well, so here's the reason I don't like it, is because I might have seriously, in a tie game, if I'm Joe Maddon, I might have not taken Aroldis Chapman out of the game, even with the bases loaded and two outs, because maybe he gets a hit 10% of the time there. But he's that much better than the next reliever to go for another inning. And,
yep.
And so if he keeps him in, and you're Dave Roberts, like, you're an idiot. Like, you gave them a chance at all these runs for nothing, to not even get the pitcher out of the game. But he looks worse, Dave Roberts, so it's easier for me to say that they ended up hitting a grand slam and all those bases run, and then it's two extra runs that you gave up. So maybe a little bit of hindsight. But what do you think about taking Chapman out of the game in that spot? Would you have done that?
Taking Chapman out?
Yeah, for a pinch hitter in the bottom of the 8th with the bases loaded and two outs.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess I would. I would do that. I mean, because I just think Chapman really, how many at-bats has he ever had? So whatever you're going to get from Montero, who is probably like a slightly below average hitter.
Right. Let's say it's, well, what do you think Aroldis could hit? Like 60.06 or something?
I think it may even possibly be like a little bit less than that.
So let's say he'll get a hit 20% more than Chapman. Like,
yeah,
you think 20 that's fair?
Full percent. Yeah,
yeah, 20%. And that's a big number, but then I guess then you'd have to compare that to what? The odds that another reliever besides Chapman gives up runs, is that how you would weigh it?
Yeah, that's how I would weigh it. But then also you have to take into account that the number of runs you're going to get from that hit is significant. It's not just getting that hit. If you get those runs, it's like game over, basically.
Yeah.
So
you're right. Versus the odds of just holding them for another inning.
Yep.
Or closing it. But you know, that's a good point. I mean, I trust Joe Maddon more than Dave Roberts. But either way, I like them all being aggressive. And then game two, Clayton Kershaw pitched 7 innings. Gave up 2 hits.
Yep.
The Cubs like couldn't touch him. I'm not sure about this, but the two lefties. No, they played Madison Bumgarner and they hit. But I was gonna say against Matt Moore. Had the other amazing game against them in the postseason so far.
Yep.
I wonder, like, if there's something lefty. I know that, like, Rizzo is good against
you
lefties,
mean the
so
Cubs.
That shouldn't be a reason. Yeah, the Cubs. What did I say? I'm bugging.
No, I mean, yeah, the Cubs is against left-handed pitching.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a struggle right now. And when you look at the people who should be hitting the lefties, like you said, Rizzo is better against lefties. He's, what, 1-for-26? And then Addison Russell has just been abysmal. I think he's hitting like .056, so he's a righty.
Ew.
He should be hitting lefties.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's
so, why he ended up pinch hitting that Miguel Montero, right? Or well,
yeah
in the game four.
And it's yeah, there's probably something to that. I mean, Jason Hayward,
sucks.
I don't know. I mean, he's yeah. It's
that
the
was
lineup
thing.
In general is just not looking that great.
One
right
of the
now.
Intentional walks was partially to get a double play, but it was partially with a right-hander to not pitch to Hayward and pitch to Baez instead. But this year, even though it's lefty-righty, Baez has better numbers against righties than Hayward does.
Oh, I'm much more scared of Baez.
Yeah. But it's not fair for me to assume that it's that versus the double play, I guess.
You could also make the assumption that when Baez is at the plate, even though he's a better hitter than Hayward, there's a higher probability that he strikes out versus whatever pitcher.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Are like paramount in that situation.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially with less than 2 outs and a runner on second at the time.
Exactly.
Well, no, now there's first and second, but still, yeah, you got to advance those guys. You're right. Doesn't this prove that NL baseball is so much better?
It is. It's much, much better.
It's so much more fun to talk about. It's so much more interesting. Like, I love it when they're forced to make a decision and waste a pitcher for a pinch hitter that blows it or hits a game-winning grand slam.
Yeah, I have no problem with the way that how long the game is in the four playoff games. The fact that it goes on for so long, that doesn't really bother me.
I know,
same. Because I just want to see the best matchups and see.
I agree.
There's so much. If you're a fan who understands and appreciates baseball, like that's exactly what you're looking for.
Right.
Is like to understand the rationale between or behind those situations.
I agree. It's the chess matchup. But an hour and 10 minute long 7th inning in the game 5 against the Dodgers Nationals. I understand baseball being concerned as a community. Like we need to get that down. But I'm with you. I don't like it's fun. I know some of the commentators, like maybe our boy Pete Rose, are frustrated with all the pitching changes, and they think like my dad again, who I use as like a not really baseball fan everyman, would be like, they overthinking it. They're doing it too much by the book. It's like there's no overthinking it. They're trying to win. They're making strategic moves. Like
yeah.
It's fun.
Agreed.
So what are your thoughts for the rest of that series?
The Cubs-Dodgers series?
Yeah. I mean, it's Rich Hill versus Arrieta today, game 3.
Yeah, it's tough. I think the Cubs are going to win this game on the road. I'm a huge fan of Arrieta. But I'm really concerned about the Cubs lineup. I think that there's a lot of talk about whether Maddon is going to move around some of the pieces in his lineup because I mean Russell has been hitting in the 5 hole and you know
you can't have
someone who's going 1-for-19
right
so maybe they'll shuffle it up a little bit.
I don't know, he wouldn't bench him. He wouldn't start Baez as shortstop, would he?
I mean Baez is definitely more than capable of playing at shortstop,
and I meant Joe Maddon is capable of making a drastic decision
absolutely.
Like that too. Yeah. And then you could obviously put Zobrist at second, clearly. I thought he was better against lefties. Like, he should be.
He should be.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I would be shocked if the Cubs don't end up in the World Series, like, obviously coming into the playoffs. But it's a funny dynamic just as like a fan, not of either team, because they're like by far the best team, and yet they feel like the underdog franchise because they haven't won in 100 years. But in any other year, they're douchebags. Everybody hates them because they're so much better than everybody else.
I agree. I mean, this Cubs team is like the dynasty Red Sox and Yankee teams.
Right,
of like,
but they haven't won yet.
Yeah, and I mean, I totally agree with you. And it's funny because as much as they downplay it, and Joe Maddon is probably the best, like, vibe manager in the game of, like, keeping these people, like, mentally clear and not worrying about the outside.
Tom did air quotes when he said vibe pitcher, manager.
They haven't won the World Series in X many years, and that is definitely a narrative. It's more pressure. I don't believe anybody who says it's not. And you look at the script, it's like when they were playing the Giants, they were still up 2-1, and there was like three innings left with like the heart of the Cubs lineup coming up, but we were like already writing them off, like, the Giants are gonna win this series.
The Cubs,
like,
cracked, and the Cubs are gonna fold under pressure.
And I just refuse to believe that many parts of the Cubs lineup are just gonna perform that badly for the, you know, remainder of the postseason. Like, Russell is a great hitter. Rizzo is an MVP caliber hitter.
Yeah.
There's no way that this is going to continue happening. Their lineup is just very formidable.
And Arrieta is your game 3 starter. I mean, what? So they could get – I'm going to look up Cubs versus lefties because this will be key. I mean, I didn't think – everybody obviously thought about the Dodgers' left-handed rotation as it relates to the Nationals, but I never really thought about it against the Cubs because – I assumed that they wouldn't mind it because they have an equal number of hitters. And like I said, their one big lefty bat does well against lefties, better this year, you know, worse last year, whatever. Like,
And I mean, they have Julio Urias, who's also a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah, that's
pitcher.
What I mean.
He's going to be
like
the next
three of them.
Too.
I know. And now they announce he's starting. I know. What'd you say? He's going to be the youngest guy to ever start a playoff game?
Yeah, I think he's about 20 and a half years old. He's going to be the youngest starting pitcher to pitch or to start a playoff game, which is,
I think, once
pretty crazy.
Once you turn 8, you're not allowed to say end a half anymore.
End a half?
I know you did it for tracking purposes, but no one's 20 and a half. How old are you? I'm 29 and a half.
27.11. That's actually what I think I am. Oh, no, I'm 27.08.
Well, what's your FIP? What's your age independent of fielding? So what was I going to say? The Indians, though, honestly, even though they're up 3-0, I wouldn't, like, obviously coming back is ridiculously long shot, but it wouldn't shock me if they collapse somehow. I mean, even though you got to win 4 games, but if Kluber loses today, you know, he's on 3 days rest. Then it's like, and your bullpen is dead after yesterday, you know? So it's like Terry Francona is stuck, like, for at least today to leave in a struggling pitcher and maybe even tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, I would like – he hasn't had to manage from behind yet. He hasn't had to manage games when he's not winning. And
right.
So I wonder how he would handle everybody in that case.
And I think that what will happen is – unless Kluber's really starting to show signs, I think that, you know, they're just going to rest up the best arms in the bullpen because it's not necessarily about sweeping them. It's about setting yourself up to win one of the remaining 3 games if you happen to lose this
game.
Right.
And that, exactly. That the Joe Maddon was the first, like, kind of to openly adopt that mentality. It was the ALCS against the Red Sox, and they needed to win one of the last 2, and he, like, kind of, instead of pitching in his ace on 3 days rest, I forget who it was, he's like, no, we're gonna pitch him on Sunday, and if we win game 6, it's icing. So what do you think, like, what are your thoughts? Do you have anything you wanted to get to that you have in your computer brain there?
Well,
no pressure.
No, I mean, I'm looking right now at the Cubs splits versus left-handed starting pitching, and it's,
they're hitting 157 in the postseason. Obviously, it's only 89 at bats, but that's not good.
No, that's definitely not good. but you look, like, OPS. I mean, Chris Bryant, 1.06. We all knew he would be a great hitter against left-handed pitching. But the,
you mean like 1,000 point?
Yeah,
oh, wow. Yeah. Holy cheesies.
But Rizzo, .832. Baez,
this is on the season? There's,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
they should be fine.
Addison Russell, 800. So, I mean, yeah,
there's
no reason.
I guess they're just cold. Yeah, so that's not that playoff stat that they're batting 157 against lefties is an outlier. It's just they're struggling now. But, you know, struggling now is the difference between winning the World Series or not.
Agreed.
It's baseball. Like, you know, it's such a small sample size in the playoffs that you have a bad week, your season's done. And that's part of my thoughts about also the Indian series, that they're up 3-0. I just keep thinking, like, what a short series. Like,
yeah.
Even a 7-game series for baseball is short because, like, just one little play here or there, it's amazing. This playoff has been awesome, by
Phenomenal.
The way, though. Like, all these games are so good. Like, even my dad, like I keep mentioning, he doesn't even really like baseball, but I was like, yo, let's watch the end of this Dodgers game when it was 2-1 and they brought in Chapman. And then it gets tied, and then they end up hitting the Grand Slam. I mean, all these games are awesome. The Dodgers game 5. What do you think of a 2-3-2 format? I forgot that they do that in the NL and ALCS. I thought it was 2-2-1-1-1 and then 2-3-2 in the World Series. Because I used to think as a kid that if you were the road team in a 2-3-2, you'd almost rather that, which is silly. I don't think that now. But it's like, oh, steal one on the road and then sweep. That's way easier said than done. But, I mean, it's so nice to have 3 games in the middle. I don't know.
I like the 2-3-2 format.
Well, for baseball, you could play every day in a row, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the games are, I guess it's just for the scheduling of the, you know, getting the prime time windows for the different games. But, yeah, I have no problem with it.
Actually, as I say it, you'd have to travel every day,
exactly.
The last 3 games, if you want to only have one day off.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing a Cubs-Indians World Series.
Yeah, all right, Mr. Chalk. Yeah, let's get some predictions.
I'm looking forward to the next Bartman. I think the Cubs, you know, they're obviously the favorites, but I think something's going to happen.
Yeah, you think, like, in the World Series, their pitch, like, Lester will get hit with a drone or something?
I just think something's going to happen. I mean, the Indians just look like the team that is supposed to win. I mean,
they look like the Royal, like, they look like, against all odds, like, they were the least favorite of the 4 teams after the wild card game. Besides the
yeah.
Orioles, they were the biggest underdogs because they lost.
Yeah,
Carrasco and Salazar.
The Blue Jays were heavily favored in this series.
Yes. You know, and the Cubs are still favored to beat the Dodgers. I don't know. We could end soon. What else you got? What were you starting to say about Pete Rose before?
Oh, I just think he's just so funny because he's like the one commentator that is like he's himself, and I gotta appreciate it. All the other commentators are so politically correct.
Yeah,
and like, he's just so brash.
Well, that's TBS and TNT. They're smart. That's the Charles Barkley format, like,
absolutely,
that they're trying to adopt. And I guess it works. I thought you like disliked him. Like,
no.
He's funny. I wish he had more analysis. Like, and didn't seem like a little gremlin who's like, you gotta hit. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, he's, like forgetting that he's on TV. Like,
and he always tries to, like, cut off Alex Rodriguez's points,
oh,
and he gets
God.
So pissed off at him.
A-Rod, like, has this whole thing rehearsed. He, like, practices his diction on the words of his point. And he's like, if you look at the Cubs in 2005, and then Pete's like, well, yeah, you gotta hit. Like he just butts
you gotta
in.
Get hits.
Dude, it was so funny. I mentioned it last time, but, like, a week ago when he started talking about the next series, he was like, yeah, and you got a picture that the Blue Jays will be favored, and then you, like, you see the light bulb turn on in his head.
Oh, actually, Pete Rose made this, like, hilarious comment too. He was talking to I think he was talking to, like, Kenley Jansen after the game or somebody. He was talking to a player, and he goes, hey, yeah, can you get me on the team flight? I need to get to Los Angeles. He goes, Alex here won't let me on the G5.
That's really funny. Pete Rose probably has, like, 1% of the money A-Rod has. I don't even think about that.
Not even close.
They're sitting next to each other. Like, A-Rod, like, doesn't even need his paycheck. Like, he's just, like, lending it to – But A-Rod is good on TV. I mean, his diction is not good. For those of you who don't know, diction is how clearly you pronounce words. Like, you know, unbelievable is what he says.
But extremely grateful.
A-Rod is A-Rod could be the A-Rod of analysts.
Wow.
So, lastly, betting
bonus feature.
Your bonus feature. No, I did. I went back before we outroed, so this is just after A-Rod.
Just a built-in feature.
Just a built
part of your weekly, subscription.
Included content. The Cubs are still favored, even though they're tied 1-1 in their series as of today when we record this, and the Indians are up 3-0.
They're both at 38% to win.
Oh, by 538, you mean?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I was going to say that last year I began to think about, like, how the odds change. Like, if you know that there's a like, so the Cubs-Mets last year in the NLCS, I forget who pitched game one, but the Mets were favored by a lot. But the series odds were not
reflecting that.
They were reflecting the Cubs were slight favorites. But then after game one, which happened as expected, the odds drastically changed for the series.
So
it's interesting. I don't know, maybe if there's some loophole there. Obviously, I'm a degenerate, and I'm thinking that I can find some angle, still have that fantasy to beat Vegas one day. But we may have found it here.
No, yeah, there's definitely something to that. I've thought about that too before, where, like, you know, you have the season long odds for a team to win the Super Bowl, but then the first game of the season, it's like Carolina versus Denver.
Right.
They're two great teams. One of them is going to lose. Obviously, Carolina ended up not being a good team this year.
Right. But no, that's a really good example.
But yeah, then the jump happens where, like, yeah, they're an 0-1 team, but that's already factored into, like, the over-under win totals for the year, and then, you know, as a result, the percentage chance to win the World Series, or in that case, the Super Bowl. So then there's an overcompensation for that one loss.
What do you mean it's already factored in? You think they are accounting, expecting them to lose week one, or?
So, yeah, I mean, you know, if you
were to,
like,
smart, it's Vegas. Of course they're accounting for this.
Right? Right. I guess what I'm getting at is, like, if you end up looking at, like, the percentage chance to win the Super Bowl, like, this one loss, any other game they would have, say, like a 60% chance of winning. This game they may have had at most, say, a 45% chance of winning. That's probably already factored into, like, the simulations that they do for, like, your season-long win total. So it's, you know, when that negative outcome happens, it shouldn't affect the price of winning the Super Bowl as much as it does.
Right. Okay. So you, okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. We're agreeing. So then there is some, maybe
there definitely
there is an, that would be really smart after, like, week one in the NFL. Baseball, it wouldn't happen with a long bet, only, like, in a series it could work, like the World Series. But yeah, that's a really good idea.
I think where that could have come into play, especially, is, you know, the Blue Jays were heavily favored in this series,
but
I believe that game one,
they were favored.
So, you know, if you wanted to bet on the Blue Jays, you know, you wait until after Kluber wins game one.
That's a really, really good point.
And I'm sure that the value,
you're getting better value than you are, even if you hope that they win game one. Right. That's really interesting. Because obviously it's a big difference starting your bet with a 1-0 series deficit.
Of course.
It's an expected one. Yeah, it was like minus 150 or something. I actually bet on that game. I'm totally betting more than I should again. I got to stop again. Like, I like had it under control for the first 5 weeks of the football season. I was like, yep, I'm just going to do this $50 parlay. And then this week, I'm literally at work aware of what I'm doing, and I'm joking about it to my coworker, and I still did it. I was like, you know, the best way to get back what you lose is to bet more and chase your losses.
Just keep doubling
just
down.
Just double it. Yeah, eventually you'll win. And so I had the Seahawks -6.5. I thought they would kill it. Whatever. You guys don't care. This is a baseball show. I'll talk to Pete. I'll see what Pete wrote
yeah,
his picks are.
Maybe Pete will give you some advice.
Or A-Rod. A-Rod is like, probably laughs at him like, what do you need to gamble for?
Yeah.
I have everything. This I can buy you a woman. I can buy you a country. I'm A-Rod.
This is why I have G5.
What do you think A-Rod's breasts look like today?
You
know how they were a little saggy? Yeah, because he had to stop doing juice.
He definitely instantly looks a little flabby.
I don't think, like, when you get caught, are you allowed to, like, cycle off? Or are they just like, you're done right now?
I don't know. That's interesting.
How funny would that be if they're just like, oh, you're caught. If you don't stop today, you're done. And then they all have to.
I bet they get a grace period.
They have to. I mean, unless the owners are so out of touch that they're like, nope, it ends today.
Maybe it even just depends on the player.
Maybe that's
why
D. Gordon was crying so much when Jose Fernandez died. It's a little messed up of me to say, but he was so emotional from all the estrogen.
That's possible.
I mean, I'm kind of joking, maybe. But it's true. So, yeah, that's it. But lastly, I tried to be a switch hitter. I took one at-bat in my softball game lefty because it ended up being an exhibition because we had to forfeit. And it turns out I'm not a switch hitter. For just all of those you on Twitter who are asking me.
You're not?
I'm not.
So you hit righties better from the right side?
I am, yeah. I am 0-0 against a left-handed softball pitcher.
Okay, I'll make sure to relay that information to the analytics department.
So yeah, that's it, yo. Please subscribe or just subscribe on your iPhone. There's a podcast app. It's purple with a weird-looking ghost guy. Then you just type in Cap Figure. Oh, you already found us if you're listening. I'm being stupid. But subscribe and leave a review, even if you don't like it. But just please leave a review.
Agree.
And then or talk crap.
Do
all
it.
Right. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Try to believe, though the